Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A scientific breakthrough might help solve some of the mysteries of the mind. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 11th, 2013, and we are beginning a science article today. It's called The Transparent Brain. You can find this article on pages 22 and 23 in your Advanced magazine. And I had said at the top of the program that a new breakthrough was going to help solve the mysteries of the mind. And the reason I say that is because it will help researchers and scientists understand the brain better, and not just what's going on in our mind, but also understand some of the things that go into some of the illnesses and disabilities that some people have to deal with. And it will help the scientists and doctors treat them once they can understand it. And so this is a fairly technical article. And there are a lot of scientific terms in this article, so don't get overwhelmed. You don't have to remember all of them. We're not going to test you on this later, but there are some very good concepts to help you understand as far as what is happening in the world of science and what it might mean to whether it's yourself or maybe people that you might know who have maybe some of these issues that they've got to deal with, or maybe they have people in their family that deal with some disabilities. Joining me in the studio are two panelists. First, off to my right, Amanda Youngpier. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Bill, and hi, listeners. I'm looking forward to just going into this article. The brain is always an interesting organ in the body, has fascinated people for many years, and just to know and learn more about it will be a great breakthrough.
Yep, it will be. And that's especially in the last 5 or 10 years, it seems like we made some real progress in it. And a lot of that has to do with the equipment that we're using.
Right. Well, our technology has increased phenomenally over the last few years. And like you said, that's helping us just get more detailed in what we're learning about the brain.
Also here in the studio is Ellen Lee. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. Very interested in this article, since they often say the brain is kind of the control center of the body. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a very important breakthrough.
You know, I was just thinking about it as one of the maybe least understood parts of our body. We focus so much on other areas, but not on the brain.
Right. I mean, most of the times, if your liver is hurt, they can open you up when you're alive, but the brain, it's very hard to do things with if, mm-hmm. you know, you're still living.
You know, even what we can do, it's almost, I think, like, helpless in a way when dealing with, okay, what I can impact my brain. The reason what I'm saying is, okay, I maybe am concerned about heart health, so I change my diet, or maybe I get more exercise, or I mm-hmm. take certain medicines to improve heart health. Or if I've got digestive issues in stomach, liver, in intestines, things like that. There are certain things I can do, or even my body. I try to exercise to strengthen the muscles, eat certain foods to improve, you know, circulation and things like that. But really, what do you ever do anything to help your brain?
Not proactively, although recently I've been learning more about the need for doing that and reading articles about how people are doing that. And mm-hmm. perhaps we will cover that in advance later on, but not proactively. No.
Yeah.
Well, I know there was a trend a couple of years ago where a lot of people would play Sudoku and mm-hmm. all those type of games to, quote unquote, exercise their mind and mm-hmm. keep it active and healthy. But I think physically there hasn't really been anything that we can do to keep it or maintain it.
Yeah, I guess that's my point. There's physically, I'm not sure what we could do other than certainly avoid toxic chemicals, avoiding alcohol and tobacco and other, you know, drugs, things like that. You want to avoid because that does cause damage to brain cells and can impact our mental capacities. But, yeah, we have had articles here in advance about the importance of keeping your brain active and whether it's playing games, learning new languages, continuing education. Those things also have been shown to help delay onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. So those are more mental exercises. But we're going to get into some of the neuroscience, the biochemistry of the brain in this article. So I hope it is interesting for all of our listeners. And make sure you've got your highlighter out so you can highlight not just the bold printed terms that we have and vocab terms, but also some other very good vocabulary in this article. We will have three readings today, and our first reading will go down to line 16. The Transparent Brain. Method for making the brain transparent may open the way to a new scientific frontier. Scientists have created a way to make a human brain transparent, enabling them to take deep three-dimensional tours through the mysterious organ and trace its circuitry down to the molecular level. The recipe for transforming cadaver brains into see-through research tools stands to accelerate investigations of Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, and a host of other brain maladies, and already has led to a significant insight into the peculiar characteristics of neurons associated with Down syndrome and autism. It involves washing away the fat that normally obscures the view of cells and replacing it with a see-through gel to hold everything in place. Okay, our title says The Transparent Brain. And what does transparent mean?
Means you're able to see through it, or it's that it is clear.
Okay, so that's a physical aspect of things, transparent, able to see through it. But also we can use transparent to say regarding organizations and relationships, right?
Right.
When we talk about transparent in organization, it just means the things that they do are, like, the public can tell what they're doing it correctly, if they're doing it honestly.
Okay, and I'm going to focus on this because this is a great word for all of our listeners to know. If you don't know it, make sure your organizations are transparent. Ask yourself, is our organization transparent? Is our maybe a relationship between a couple? Is it transparent? Nothing hidden. Clear communications, clear decision-making processes. Now, what is the opposite of transparent?
It's opaque.
Opaque. How do you spell opaque?
O-P-A-Q-U-E.
Yeah, opaque. So opaque is something that you can't see through. You don't. It's a mystery then. So in the past, the brain has been opaque. It's a mystery, but now it is becoming transparent through this new technology. What does our deck say, Amanda?
It says, method for making the brain transparent may open the way to a new scientific frontier.
Okay, so again, they're opening up a new scientific frontier, new areas to explore, right?
That's right. Frontier is, like you say, new areas or advanced or recent ideas about something.
Okay. Now, how does our reading start, Ellen?
It begins by saying, scientists have created a way to make a human brain transparent, enabling them to make deep three-dimensional tours through the mysterious organ and trace its circuitry down to the molecular level.
Okay. Now, that is a long sentence, and what this is doing is enabling them to take three-dimensional tours. Is it a physical tour, or is this like a visual tour?
It's a visual tour. We don't actually take a tour. Like, we know the sense people think of, like, travel when they think of tours. Here is actually using a computer to take the pictures of the brain, the three-dimensional pictures that they've taken, and so they're able to explore the brain, which we say through the mysterious organ. You mentioned opaque. In the past, the brain has been a mystery.
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. I had a CAT scan, a CT scan a few years ago of my heart. And what it did, it took X-ray images, three-dimensional X-ray images. And actually then what they were able to do is call up on the computer, my heart. And then the guy was able to move this thing around. And it was just amazing that they were able to take a three-dimensional tour. And that's what we are talking about. Then you can see this object and then they can move it all around and you can see all the details within it. Now we're doing this with the brain, and what we're going to do is trace its circuitry down to the molecular level. Circuitry.
Circuitry is the connected arrangement of the parts of a closed system through which electricity can flow.
Okay.
So in a lot of our electronics, we have circuitry. Mm-hmm. So it allows, when you turn on the machine, then the circuitry will flow through the object.
Yeah. And actually, our brain has circuitry. There are electrical impulses that go through our brain and other parts of our body. So now, the recipe for transforming cadaver brains into see-through research tools. I'm going to stop right there. Cadaver.
Cadaver is a dead body. We have that in our specialized terms. It says a dead human body, especially one used by medical students for study. So we don't really use the cadaver unless we're talking about medical terms or research.
Who usually deals with a cadaver?
Well, usually, obviously, the person in the mortuary, or which is where dead bodies go. Followed by that, it will be people dealing with medicine.
Okay. And in law enforcement, who might be the person that deals with that?
Usually that's the coroner, or in some places they call that the medical examiner.
Okay. Now the coroner will have, you mentioned mortuary before. Another term Ellen had thought about was morgue, right?
Mm, right.
So, and that's in usually where the coroner is working.
That's correct.
So, yeah. All right. So this will help the research tools help people look inside these brains, and the tools stand to accelerate investigations. What's that mean, stands to, Ellen?
Stands to means it is people expect it to do something, right? Stands okay. to accelerate. So it might not have exactly happened yet, but they expect that that with more use, or as they hone this technique, mm-hmm. it will improve the way that they can investigate or look into.
All right,
diseases.
And what are some of the ailments that it will be able to investigate?
Well, here it lists Alzheimer's disease, schizophrenia, and a host of other brain maladies.
Okay. We've talked plenty about Alzheimer's in advanced in the past, but this is the first time I've seen schizophrenia. And I think it's important for people to understand this, because schizophrenia is actually more prevalent than people realize. It comes in varying degrees, and the concerning part about it is it can actually affect people of all ages. Alzheimer's is usually later in life, but schizophrenia is something I think that is often not understood and ignored. And how do we define that?
In our specialized terms, we define it as a mental illness in which a person's thoughts and feelings are not related to reality.
Okay. All right. What you might see in this is our extremes of behavior. And this is a person that will seem perfectly calm 98% of the time, but then will start doing some really crazy things, erratic behavior that just is completely asocial. And that's why I'm saying it is often misunderstood, because the person seems quite normal most of the time. So we do need to be on the lookout for this. And if you suspect anything, have consultations and examinations take place. All right. And then we also have a host of other brain maladies. Maladies?
Maladies are a disease, and that is also one of our vocabulary focus words. So this is a tool that can be used for hopefully a lot of other brain diseases.
All right. So, and this research already has led to significant insight into the peculiar characteristics of something else, right, Ellen?
Yes, and it says of neurons associated with Down syndrome and autism.
Okay, and what do we define those two, and where do we typically find them?
Well, Down syndrome, as we see in our specialized terms, is a genetic condition where a person is born with a learning difficulty and particular physical characteristics. We have many people in our society that have Down syndrome and also autism. Now, autism is interesting in that it's an illness that starts in young children it's not necessarily found out straight away when they're born. Mm-hmm. It becomes more acute as they start growing up, and it causes behavior that is unusually centered on their self. And so it limits their ability to develop socially and in communication.
Okay, and in this next paragraph, we understand some of the beginnings of how this is done.
Right. So this technique involves washing away the fat that normally obscures the view of cells and replacing it with a see-through gel to hold everything in place.
Okay. That is just a little bit of the beginning to help us understand what is going on with the science of, okay, how are we making the brain transparent? Let's continue along the same vein in our next reading. This feat of chemical engineering promises to transform the way we study the brain's anatomy and how disease changes it, said Dr. Thomas R. Insel, director of the National Institute of Mental Health, which funded the research. The technique also could be applied to other organs and structures, making it useful for cancer research and other fields, according to the Stanford scientists who developed it. No longer will researchers have to choose between examining brain tissue one minuscule slice at a time or using larger-scale techniques that can't detect the finest roots of the organ's circuitry. As an added benefit, the finite supply of brain tissue, some of it stewing in jars for years, now can be subjected to multiple tests that won't ruin the samples. Okay, in this section, we hear from one of the researchers who was involved in this, Dr. Thomas R. Insel. And what does he say?
He says, this feat of chemical engineering promises to transform the way we study the brain's anatomy and how disease changes it. Now, a feat is an achievement. So they're saying that this new method really will change the way of how we deal with the brain.
Okay, and I like that they use the term chemical engineering. And normally when we think of chemical engineering and working in a factory, trying to produce something,
yeah.
Right? But this is a little bit different because they are actually just using chemicals. It's not necessarily a physical function as far as using their hands and tools to remove the fat from the brain, but they actually came up with a mix of chemicals that did it for them, washes away the fat. And then the word anatomy, Alan, how would we define that?
Anatomy we often use to describe kind of the structure of the body, so the okay. anatomy of the body, or the anatomy, even specifically a part of the body, the anatomy of a heart, the anatomy of a brain.
Okay.
It's basically talking about the structure or how it is built.
Okay, good. All right, and that comes from Dr. Thomas R. Insel, and then we continue in the next paragraph talking about where else this might be used.
Sure. This technique can also be used to be applied on other organs and structures, making it useful for cancer research and other fields. This is according to the Stanford scientists who developed it.
All right. So I can see that there are other parts of the body that, gather as we age, it gathers plaque and fat and things like that, and they could use this to wash away a lot of that in other parts, our liver, our hearts, even in our veins and arteries, or actually in our arteries, we gather this. So they could use that for research in those fields. No longer will research have to choose
between examining brain tissue one minuscule slice at a time or using larger scale techniques. I think I'm reminded of when I was in university, I did study anatomy, and our textbooks, at the very back, it was always full of photos of these slices. And we were told it takes a lot of time to produce these slices.
Right.
Whereas this technique is going to reduce that completely or change and transform that completely.
Yeah, it, just the slicing, the tools that are involved, having to be very careful, and if they've got a brain, they want to make this brain last as long as they can for research. They're going to try and take as little as they can. So just imagine slicing like a vegetable as thin as you possibly could.
Right.
Really, that's what they're doing here. Yeah. And minuscule meaning, of course, extremely small. And so then they can work with some larger samples. But there's also an added benefit.
Yes, the added benefit being the finite supply of brain tissue. Some of it's stewing in jars for years. Let me just define for a minute finite. Finite meaning limited. We often say infinite, which means unlimited. So this is the opposite of that. And stewing just means to kind of sit in liquid for a long time.
Okay. All right. And as we continue the sentence?
Well, now they can be subjected to multiple tests that won't ruin the samples. So before that, like you mentioned earlier about brain tissue, needing to worry about, we'll just take a little bit at a time because we need to keep this for a long time. Now they don't need to worry about that. They can do as many tests as possible because it also is connected with just using the computer.
One of the problems that has gotten in the way of brain research is this limited supply. And so now this technique is going to help them because they can work on the supply that they do have much longer. And there's actually been a more aggressive approach by the medical community to get brain donors. They have asked people before passing away, will you be willing to donate your brain for research? So that is something that the medical community is becoming more aware of. So, all right, let's have our final section for today. Barriers to seeing through the brain. The first impediment was the brain structure itself, held together by a lattice of lipids. Those fats are excellent for transmitting electrical impulses over the relatively long networks of the brain, but they wreak havoc on light. Scientists wondered whether they could remove the fats and replace them with something that didn't diffract as much light but preserved the brain structure. The task was somewhat akin to removing the binder from a casserole and replacing it with Jell-O. Okay, barriers to seeing through the brain. Okay, so we're talking about making the brain transparent for research. What is this all about? Why did they have to do this?
Well, they're wanting to know more of the detail and the small areas of the brain to see, like, the neurons and things like that. They're wanting to know how those things work so that they can find out, well, why do we have autism? Why do we have schizophrenia? They want to know the details.
Well, they couldn't do this in the past because there were some things blocking the way, right?
Right. So the first impediment was the brain structure itself, which is held together by a lattice of lipids.
Okay. Now, impediment.
Impediment is just an obstacle. It's kind of a something that's blocking your way.
Okay. Could be anything gets in our way. Even if you're driving somewhere, there's a car blocking the street. We would say that's an impediment. So, all right. Now, it's held together by a lattice of lipids. Now, what's a lattice?
Lattice is a network or a structure.
We normally might see a lattice, for instance, like in a garden, right? It's like these pieces of wood that you might grow roses and other flowers on. It helps, acts as a support. It's infrastructure for something to grow on. Just imagine a tiny infrastructure inside your brain, and the lipids are the things that are there to provide the infrastructure for the circuitry of the brain. Now, these fats are there in our brain for a reason. They are excellent for transmitting electrical impulses over the relatively long networks of the brain. But what's the problem?
But they wreak havoc on light.
So, wreak havoc?
Wreak havoc just means to kind of cause chaos, just to give a lot of problems.
what this sentence means here is that these fats, they're wreaking havoc on light. They're blocking the light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They can't see through it.
Right.
So when you look at a brain, it's just this blob of white stuff and gray matter.
Right.
You can't see inside. You only see outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're trying to get rid of those fats that block your view. Scientists wondered whether they could do what?
Remove the fats and replace them with something that didn't wreak havoc on the light or diffract mm-hmm. as much light, but preserved the brain structure. And that diffractor, we often use that with light, you know, to mean breaking up the light.
Yeah. All right. And then we finish our reading today with an analogy. So I think this is a really good example of an analogy for our listeners.
Right. And we finish off by saying the task was somewhat akin to removing the binder from a casserole and replacing it with Jell-O.
Okay. First off, casserole. What's a casserole?
A mixture, usually like a stew of meat and vegetables, usually cooked in an oven yeah. over a period of time.
Maybe throw some noodles in there.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, a chicken and broccoli and cheese casserole, right?
Yeah.
And now
a bit sticky, a bit gooey.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the binder. What's a binder in this case?
Well, a binder is kind of like the starch or the piece of the ingredient in the casserole that keeps everything together.
Right. So we're going to mix in maybe some starch, some breadcrumbs, and some butter, mm-hmm. and that's going to hold the chicken, broccoli, and cheese all together.
Right.
All right. And then this is akin to, and what does akin to mean?
Akin means like or similar.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listeners, this has been very interesting. I know it might be a little tricky to understand what we're talking about, but hopefully we have introduced this concept of how scientists are making the brain more transparent. Well, appreciate you being here with us today. Come on back tomorrow. But before we sign off, Naomi's going to tell you how to get in touch with us through our Facebook page.
A quick and easy way to connect with the advanced team is by visiting the Studio Classroom page on Facebook. Each day there are new posts for Let's Talk in English, Studio Classroom, and Advanced. It's great to see all the comments that our friends post, and the advanced team checks the page several times a day. We often leave comments, too. So join the crowd, and we'll see you soon on the Studio Classroom Facebook page.
All right, make sure you go there, because I always check our Facebook page every day. What about you, Amanda?
Often. I check the Facebook page often.
Elle?
Yep, I definitely check in at least once a day.
Yeah, okay, thanks for being here. We'll see you all tomorrow!